Morning. Today's daf and molikat and daf chaf beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zechman Shmuel Lupin Zaltzman. We are in chaf aleph amid beis, the very top. We're starting Tanur Rabbanan, Hilchos Avelos, and we get into a lot of the basics regarding Hilchos Avelos. Let's just get right into it. The Gemara starts off Tanur Rabbanan, quoting a brisa. Avel Gimel Yamim Rishonim Asur B'Malacha. The first 3 days, an avel cannot do any type of work. V'afilu ani is punishment of tzedakah. Even if the ani gets the sustenance from tzedakah, but still can't do work during the first 3 days. Mikan be'elachos b'tzina b'soch beiso, and then after that, so private work is done in the house. Va'isha tova b'falach b'toch beiso, and a woman can spin even in her house. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes another by avel to gimel yam rishonim ain't no holach le'beiso avel. The first 3 days, so you don't go visit. You're not menachem. You don't go visit during the first 3 days. It is the most intense. Mikan ve'elach olach ve'inu yoshev b'malkom ha'menachmim. So then he can go in, but he does not sit amongst the menachmim. Ela b'malkom ha'misnachmim. But you sit amongst the people who are receiving, and not the people who are offering the comfort. Okay, there is a discussion in the halacha regarding going and visiting an avel within the first 3 days. If you are the menachem, the one who's giving the comfort, if you're unable to go at a later point in time, so then you should go early in the first within the first 3 days. And okay, there's a lot of discussion about that. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara continues. I'm sorry.
You don't go in the first 3 days.
Right. Correct. Understood. The Gemara seems pretty clear. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Avo gemol yam rishonim asur b'shel shalom. The first 3 days, you cannot offer any type of shalom aleichem. Now from day 3 to day 7, so he could respond, meaning if someone says to him Shalom Aleichem, so he could respond with the Aleichem Shalom. And then Mikan Ve'elech Shalom Meshiv Kedarko, and after that point in time Shalom Meshiv Kedarko, you can both extend and receive a Shalom with no problem. Now the Hatayim, now this on this last brisa, now the Gemara has a discussion. The first two brises of today, there's no discussion. There's no back and forth. It's pretty straightforward. But on this last brisa, there is much discussion because we have a brisa that says to the contrary. V'hatanya, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Ma'isa u'meisu banavsho Rabbi Akiva. So the sons of Rabbi Akiva die. Nichnasu kol Yisrael v'ispidum hespegadol, and a great eulogy was made. B'shas petira son Amar Rabbi Akiva asafsal gadol v'amar. And when they were leaving, the word petir over here doesn't mean death, and even though that's all we're talking about these past couple days, and we will be talking about to the end of the Masechta, but petir over here just simply means when they're departing. So b'shas petir rasan, so when everyone's leaving, so Rabbi Kiva stands on a bench, on a large bench, v'amar, and this is what he says to everybody, achenu beis Yisrael shemu afilu shnei banim chasanim menuchamhu. Even if my two sons were married, so I know it sounds like a strange statement, but in other words, even if they were older and the loss would be even more penetrating. But still, menucham hu. I'm comforted. Or b'shvil kvosha asisem, because of all the honor that I received, meaning I received the law of nechama. V'im b'shvil akiva batem. Now look, if you came for me, harei kam akiva b'shuk. Meaning, akiva, okay. Shows a tremendous amount of modesty, humility. Look, it's not doing it for me. Alakach amartem Torah alakav b'libo. But it's because of Kavanah Torah, meaning, in other words, like Rabbi Akiva embodied Torah. He was a Baal HaMesorah. So, okay, so he came from my Torah. Now, that I understand. The Kosha came Shizchartim Kaful. And he says, your reward is going to be doubled because not he didn't just eulogize, but you showed Kavanah Torah. So your reward is going to be doubled. L'chu levatechem l'shalom. He says, everyone should go back l'shalom. So what did he do? He extended shalom. He extended shalom to everybody there. And we're on day one. I mean, it's hesped. I mean, you know, it may be even T minus, meaning I don't even know, right? It sounds like all this took place at the hesped. Hesped is usually before the burial. But anyway, but the problem is obvious. In other words, he's extending shalom, and it's not after. In other words, during the first 3 days, we said you can't even respond. From day 3 to 7, you can't extend. You can only respond. And from day 7 and onwards, so then you can extend shalom. But over here, we're talking about at the hesped, and he's extending. So covered rabbim shani, the Gemara gives a very quick answer. Covered rabbim. That's honoring the public, and when honoring the public, so therefore you can give shalom. You're not extending shalom to a particular person. That's unacceptable. But if you're extending it to the masses, to the rabbim, so that the Gemara says is fine. We're going on to the next part of this statement of shalom aleichem, and that is migimel v'adzayin meishiv einu shalom. So again, the Braisa said, from day 3 to 7, you can respond. Someone says Shalom Aleichem to you, you can respond. And from day 7 and onwards, so then business as usual in terms of Shalom Aleichem. So in terms of the social graces, it's you're regular. Urim Minhu. The problem is the Gemara says we have another Braisa. Hamotzi Chaver Avel, B'soch Lamed Yom Medabi Mo Tanchumim. Okay, you meet somebody within 30 days of the loss, right? This happens often, where you weren't able to pay a shiva call, you were out of town, you just weren't available, whatever the case is. And now you see them after they get up from shiva, so can you extend words of comfort? Okay, so I know a lot of this is just basic social etiquette, but in terms of the halacha, so the answer is yes, you can. Until when? So the Braisa says, B'soch lamed yom medabim bo tanchumim. So up until 30 days, no problem at all. You give them words of comfort. The Eino Shola Bishlomo. And here's the part that we're interested in. I mean, obviously we're interested in all of it. But in the context of the Gemara, the Eino Shola Bishlomo, but don't ask about his welfare. Meaning, don't give him a Shalom Aleichem. And that's within 30 days. The Braisa, remember, the Braisa said previously that after day 7, business as usual in terms of Shalom Aleichem. So you already see that what the problem is, that the Gemara is going to have to deal with that, but we're going to first finish up the Braisa. Now, after 30 days, so then Shela Shalom. Meaning when you see him, Shalom Aleichem, don't give him words of comfort after day 30. Now his wife dies and he marries another wife. I'll file this under common sense, but the Braisa says don't go into his house and start giving him words of comfort on the previous wife while the new wife is there in the house. Now, if you find him in the marketplace outside of his house and he's out of earshot of his new wife, so then you could say words of comfort on the loss of his previous wife. Now, perfect. That was going to perfect. So, a new wife. How long did he wait until he? Until he married his new wife. So that is a discussion, a machlokas among the Rishonim. You can find some of that discussion right here on the daf. Fourth Tosfos on the Amud. Mesa ishta v'nasa isha acheres mashma b'soch lamed yom. So just from the context of our Gemara, right, he had to marry this new wife within 30 days. Because remember, the Braisa is talking about extending words of comfort to the mourner. The Braisa was saying that within 30 days you could do so, after 30 days don't do that. So just from the simple context of the Gemara, it's clear that when the Braisa is saying, don't talk about the previous wife while he's married to a new wife, it must be talking about within 30 days. So he got married within 30 days. That's just a simple pshat of our Gemara, and that's what Tosfos says. Because if it's after 30 days, so because after 30 days, you shouldn't mention anything about his loss. Meaning, up to 30 days, it's appropriate. After 30 days, it's not appropriate. Although we'll discuss in just a moment, an incidental comment about the loss after 30 days is fine. But we haven't touched on that yet. We'll get to that in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, again, just a simple pshat of our Gemara is that you're allowed to marry within 30 days. Now, getting married to a new woman within 30 days, so could be, says the Gemara, citing the opinion of Rabbi Natam, is that he has no children. So he has no children, so he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah peruvu, so therefore he's entitled to remarry even immediately after Shiva. Okay, right, don't, again, I'm not the, let's not confuse, you know, the psychology of it and the halacha. The halacha is that for the mitzvah peruvu, so you can get married immediately after Shiva, sometime between Shiva and Shloshim. Okay, that's... Inami bihinicho lo banim ketanim shemut elisa miyad v'liva achar shloshim yom. Or, says Tosfos, another consideration is that Rachman son, the wife died, and there were a lot of small children around the house. So a lot of small children around the house, they can get married. Correct. In other words, you need someone help out around the house, so they can get married, even though the bi'ilah should be postponed until day 30, until after shloshim. I'm not speaking to the finances. Well, the Perush Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ve'erich B'Tosfos Perakam D'Ksuvus Uvi Yalkut and Kasa B'Tshuva. And then Tosfos says, I'll give you a couple of other Maramakamas to look at in terms of this discussion. But okay, so but it is certainly a very interesting discussion in terms of the halacha when a person can remarry. Now, don't confuse this with the halacha of a woman. A woman, right, upon either death or divorce, so she has to wait 91 days, right? Why is that? But that's paternity, right? That's an issue of paternity, meaning that we don't want to confuse who the father was. So for issues of paternity, so therefore you must wait a time so that she knows that she either is or is not pregnant. I mean, if she is, then it obviously gets more awkward, but she has to, in other words, you have to know. That's why a woman has to wait 91 days. So for the husband, there's not an issue of paternity. In other words, he knows he's a father, and he'll know who the mother is. She's the one carrying the child, right? So that makes it pretty clear. So then the only issue then is avelus and kavadishto and the honor for his wife. So again, so that's why Tosfos is grappling with our Gemara, because our Gemara makes it sound like he's getting married within Shloshim, and Tosfos is working with this an assumption. You really can't get married within Shloshim, and so therefore either A, Tosfos has two answers over here, Peru would allow him to get married within Shloshim, or B, small children and helping taking care of the small children. Another reason why he'd be able to get married within Shloshim. Okay.
So maybe here the case is because of breeding is different, but for him, he's a shiva because he's never
saw
before.
Right.
So maybe that's why he can.
Okay. Could be. Anyway, but that's.
Well, he's not talking about a regular case where, a regular case where somebody's doing shiva. He's talking about he meets him within the 30 days.
Yeah.
He meets him, so if I go somebody, for me, it's like he's a shiva. I haven't seen him before.
So
maybe that's why he can.
Understood, but correct, but you have to look at it from the perspective of the person who suffered the loss. Not meaning for you, I understand. For you, it's, you're sown for the first time.
Yeah,
okay. But, all right, so anyway, so let's. Safak of Rosh. Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin. Okay, so again, let's deal with the question. Question is that in the Braisa we were discussing Shela Shalom. You cannot be meshiv. You cannot respond from day 3 to day 7. And after day 7, this is Braisa number 1. After day 7, kidarko, business as usual in terms of extending and responding with Shalom. Meanwhile, the Braisa says no, not till day 30 can it be business as usual in terms of Shela Shalom. Okay, we have a problem. Amar Rav Idi Bar Avin, who shol b'shalom acherim, she'acherim shum b'shalom, acherim ein shalom b'shlamo, she'ein ushari b'shalom. So Rav Idi Bar Avin's answer is, look, it depends which direction shalom is being extended. So he could extend shalom to others. Peace be upon you. Because others are b'shalom. So, but what cannot occur is that no one can give him shalom, who'ein ushari b'shalom. He's not in peace. He has a loss, he suffered a loss. So that's the second braisa. Within 30 days, nobody can extend shalom to him because he's not at peace. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, again, that answer seems to be insufficient because the braisa says, meshiv. What does meshiv mean? Meshiv means you're responding. So if you're responding, that means someone extended shalom to you and you then are responding to them. So that sounds like someone extended shalom to you. So it does not seem like we have a sufficient answer. The Gemara is not going to give a new answer, but another point to consider, dilo yadeh. When the person came over to you and extended shalom aleichem to you, so they didn't know you were an avol. Okay, it's a little bit strange. I mean, just that usually in the context of matters, you're going to somebody's house who's sitting shiva. Okay, however this worked, they didn't know that you were an avol, so therefore they extended shalom to you. So they didn't know. So you can now, from day 3 to day 7, just simply respond and say, Aleichem Shalom. Ihachi Asanami, the Gemara says, well, if that's true, well, let's go from the burial until day 3. If somebody didn't know you were an Avel, so then what's the difference from the burial to day 3, from day 3 to day 7? Shouldn't it be the same point? They didn't know you were an Avel. They came over to you. They said, Shalom Aleichem. Okay, they didn't know. So just respond. What's the difference between 0 to 3 and 3 to 7? So the Gemara says, Hasamo delohu v'lo mahadelohu. Hachelot serach la'adino. So the Gemara says, the difference was like this. From 0 to 3, from the burial until day 3, someone says Shalom Aleichem, so awkwardly you have to correct them. You have to say, no, I cannot receive the Shalom Aleichem. I'm in the most intense period of mourning. You actually have to go out of your way to say to them, I'm not in a position to be mekabel. I can't receive it. From day to 3, 7, if they don't know you're an avel, so you just simply respond. You don't have to correct them. You could just simply say Aleichem Shalom. That's the difference between burial to 3 and 3 to 7. And then what about the braisa that says that you can't receive Shalom Aleichem to day 30? That's when the person knows that you're an Aval. He knows that you're an Aval. You should not be receiving Shalom Aleichem until after day 30. Uriminhu. And one more brisa to consider to try to put all these halachas together. This brisa puts the mark at 1 year. Up to a year, give him words of comfort. Don't give him a shalom aleichem. After a year, flip it. Give him a shalom aleichem and don't give him words of comfort. But here's what you can do. You can go in from the side, meaning that after a year, you can't directly say to him, I'm really sorry for your loss. After a year already, to say that directly, not straightforward, in other words, there's a mourning period, there's a grieving period, and that grieving period comes to an end. So after that point in time, you want to make an incidental remark that you're allowed to do. But to go in directly and to say, I'm sorry for your loss, that you should not do. I'm Rabbi Meir, Moses Chaver Avalach. I'm sorry. Oh yeah. I'm Rabbi Meir, Moses Chaver Avel. Lachri Yud Beis Chosh, Medabri Motan Chom, Alamahu Dome. Rabbi Meir says a little bit stronger. He says, somebody's after 12 months, and you go over and you extend words of comfort. I'm really sorry for your loss. So what is that similar to? La'adam Shanishba Ragla, V'chaisa. It's like a person who broke his leg, healed his womb. Mazarofe Ba'amar Lo, Klachet Slishani Shovra, V'erpa'ena. Go to the doctor. The doctor says, oh, the broken leg, it's all fixed. You know what? I'm going to break it again, and I'm going to repair it. You know why? To show that my medicine is so good. The person, Rabbi Meir, strong language by Rabbi Meir. The same thing with somebody coming over after Yud Beis Chodesh, after 12 months, coming over to them and saying, I'm really sorry. Meaning, he's healed. Again, I understand it's not a physical wound, but it's emotional. But he's healed. After 12 months, he's healed. So now you go over, you're saying, oh look, I can comfort you. It's like the doctor is like, I'm going to first break your leg and then I'm going to fix it. Here too, after 12 months, I'm going to first break you, right, by reminding you about your loss, and now I'm going to comfort you. No, he's healed. At that point in time, don't do anything. It's like the doctor breaking the leg all over again. Again, the point of the Gemara over here now is that we have another brisa, and this brisa puts the Shelo Shalom at Yud Beis Chodesh, not at Shloshim. Probably you already knew the answer, but the Gemara over here spells it out. For mother and father, it extends Yud Beis Chodesh, it goes for 12 months. For Shar Korban, for the other five relatives, it stops at Shloshim. At the point of Shloshim, you no longer receive Divrei Tanchumim, and you can both extend and receive Shelo Shalom. For Aviv Ima, for mother, and for the loss of mother and father, So the point is Yud Beis Chodesh. You can receive Divrei Tanchumim for Yud Beis Chodesh up until 12 months, and you cannot receive Shelo Shalom. And after 12 months, no Tanchumim, and yes to Shelo Shalom. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. So how about Aviv Ima? How about Shar Korban? Hasanami Dabrei Mot Tanchumim Natsad Einach Inami. So the Gemara says well, that's true. So then, what about the incidental comments? So the Gemara says, "Anachinami, umayinu medaber tanchumim kedarka aval medaber imam natsad." Correct. Meaning, after for Shar Krovim, for the other five relatives, after day 30, you can make an incidental comment. Don't directly say, "I'm really sorry for your loss," but you can make a comment about the loss of a loved one, an incidental comment. And the same thing is true for Aviv Ima after 12 months. So again, to say, "I'm really sorry for your loss," no, he's repaired, he's recovered. I know, right? There's never a full recovery, but in other words, go back to living. And then, but you might make an incidental comment how great his father was, how great his mother was. So you can certainly make an incidental comment, but to directly try to comfort him for his loss after 12 months, that's inappropriate. Shalom Aleichem, it gives the indication that you're all together. Right? In other words, the word indicates shalom meaning peace, but peace meaning you got it all together. He's not. They write Shalom Aleichem is the opposite of Avelos. Avelos is he's broken. Right? He's not in peace. So, no, you have to, I mean, I know it's a semantics, but that's exactly the point. Meaning that the understanding, the meaning behind the word shalom is that you're all together. And he's not. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, good. That's the discussion of Shalom Aleichem. That finishes up really yesterday's daf. We're on the very bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom, five lines from the bottom. and Tanu Rabbanan, and now we begin another discussion, and that is as follows. We know that, let's just discuss generally, and give you just a brief introduction, and then we'll start with the Gemara. When does the veils begin? So the simple answer to that question is Stima Sagolo, right? When you put the lid over the Aron, and then you put the earth on top of the coffin. So at that point in time, now Avelis officially begins. Okay, and Avelis is 7 days, like we've been discussing now for the past week, and we'll be discussing for one more week. Okay, good. That we knew already. That's the simple answer to the question. Okay, here is where it gets complicated. Okay, especially back in those days where travel was very difficult and communication was not quick. So what if, let's say, you have a relative that comes in the middle of Shiva? Okay, he came. Either he knew, he didn't know. Well, right, there may be a point to make a distinction. But he comes in the middle of Shiva. And so now he comes in the middle of Shiva. So what does he do in terms of his avelos? Can he just sit down with the other members of the family? Does he have to count on his own Shiva? How exactly does that work? That will be discussion of the Gemara. Now, the Gemara itself will be pretty clear, although we're not going to be dealing with every permutation. And there's a lot of practical halacha that comes out of this Gemara. I caution you, we're just going to become familiar with the Gemara. I'll quote a little bit of the Rishonim. And then after that, you have to speak to a Rav. If, God forbid, this ever turns into a practical halacha question, you speak to a Rav. But we're going to familiarize ourselves with the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Avol Gimel Yomim Rishonim Bami Makom Karov Moni Mahem. An Avol, a mourner. In the first 3 days of mourning, if it's coming from a close place, so Moni Mahem, he counts together with them. Okay, simply put, the family is here sitting Shiva. He was in the Gemara just simply describes as a proximate location. The Gemara does not actually give a measurement of proximity. If you take a look at Tosos, Tosos gives a shear of Yud Parsos. Okay, he quotes Halachos Gedolos. Okay, but in other words, without having to get too detailed, you're in a proximate location. You come within the first 3 days. So at this point in time, you could just simply join the Avelim who are already in mourning, and you don't have to sit a full 7 days. You could just simply sit as long as the rest of the family is sitting. Bami makum kara, or I'm sorry, bami makum rachok monalatmo. But if you're coming from a faraway place, so then you have to count for yourself. Mikan ve'elecha filo bami makum kara monalatmo. But if you're coming after 3 days, and even if you're coming from a proximate location, you have to count 7 days to yourself. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu bami b'yamashvim imakum karov mona imahem. Rabbi Shimon says, even if you come on day 7, but you are coming from a proximate location, you can count together with the other family members, even if it means that you're only going to be observing 1 day of Shiva, and if it's day 7, you're not even observing 1 day of Shiva, it's going to be mitzvah siyom kekula. What's the difference? This should be the question in everyone's mind. What's the difference whether you come from a makam karov or a makam rachov? What difference does it make? What's the understanding of this halacha? So I'll first start off by saying, I'm not sure. Now, I know I'm the one sitting in the front over here. I should have more clarity on the matter, and I should know better, and good. I understand that. But I'm not sure. I will quote Rashi, however, and Rashi writes like this. Yeah, take a look at the last Rashi in the Amud I'm reading. Rashi writes, Sheish Gadol Abayis, not that Rashi. Back up. Rashi of Moni Imahen. Rashi writes, Imai Velam Sheba Osa Mokum, hold him a Mokum Karov Hava. Rashi says, since you were in a close place, the Yachol Avo B'tchilas Avelos, and you could have came from the beginning of the Avelos, Chashvin Alei Kamo Da'asa. It's as if you came. In other words, the potential of you being there from day one of the Avelos, even though you didn't come, and Rashi does not supply a reason why you didn't come. You didn't know. Rashi's not giving us the excuse of why he didn't come, but as long as he could have came from the beginning, so it's as if he was sitting with them. And therefore you only have to sit the remaining 5 days together with the other Avelim. Okay, I read the Rashi. I'm still making an admission. I don't fully understand. You could have been with them, but Lamaisa, you weren't. But the fact that you could have been with them is enough to render it as if you sat with them from the beginning. Makom Rachok, however, you couldn't have been with them. So therefore, whenever you come, that's when you start your Avelos. From that point, and you don't get to sit with the family. Amar Mar.
It happened to me. My mother, I said, island in Greece, but I found out right before the burial, they were going to bury a guy at Kor, and my nephew was a wolf in Gateshead, told me, just sit, or start sitting right there.
And so many of these cases, right? Right. Correct. So many of these comes up so often, all these issues. Okay, so again, we're now going back to the first part of the Braista. You were coming from a Malcolm Karov. When is it that the family will dictate when avails begins and when avails ends? And you can come as kind of like a participant in the avelus, even if though you weren't there from the beginning. But again, as long as you were coming from Mimakam Karov, so that now means that you can just simply attach yourself to wherever they are, link yourself to their avelus, so then you only need to observe the remaining avails with them. So the Gemara throws a qualifier in. That's only when gadol habayis bebayis. That's only when we'll just simply say head of household. Okay, it's not totally clear from the Gemara what exactly that term means. Head of household means that he's the oldest. It means that he's basically the leader of the family. However you want to understand it, but the Rishonim debate exactly what that means. But if you have the gadol habayis bebayis, so then you can simply attach yourself to wherever that is. Gemara now asks another question. Again, very relevant, has a lot of halachic ramification. Let's say we're going to invert it now. Meaning we were discussing where you're joining the Gadol Habayis. The Gadol Habayis is already in Avelus, and you're joining, and as long as you're coming in Makum Karov, you could just simply hook yourself to the Gadol Habayis. So wherever he's up to day three, good, you're up to day three as well. And I mean, I say good, you understand, in the context of just understanding the halacha. And again, according to Rabbi Shimon, this would be true even in day seven, right, which the Gemara later on will point out that the halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon. We go Kedivrei HaMeikel, we're lenient when it comes to Avelus. So if you are going to the Gadol, you hook yourself up to the Gadol, wherever he's at. Now the Gemara is going to invert it, and now we're discussing, what if the Gadol goes out? So, for example, we're on the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Halach Gadol Habayis to Beis HaKfaros. Mahu. The Gadol Habayis goes to the Beis HaKfaros. Now, totally understandable. Meaning, he's the one who is responsible for the family. He's the decision maker of the family. So now, there's a burial that needs to take place. So he goes out together with the coffin. So, what's the halacha? Take a look at...
It's like somebody taking a bite to Israel, no?
Take a look. Yeah, correct. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos over here explains Perish mi monel atzmo or lo. The Shema Kimishu tard be inyane meis kushe shamo hem shama gam hu yimne imahem or Shema monel atzmo velo yadana my havadina begadol habayis. I'm sorry. Before we get to the velo yadana. So Tosfos says that what the Gemara is asking over here is, do you count for yourself? So in other words, he's going to be busy with inyane hameis. In other words, he right now, you're done. Meaning the rest of the family members. The rest of the family members are done. Vis-a-vis the burial. They're not going to have anything more to do with the burial. Now, even though I know it's going to be strange, but the Gemara is going into this arena of halacha. Even though the body has not been buried yet, but nevertheless, you, the rest of the family, know that you are not going to have any more involvement. So you're done vis-a-vis the mace. So maybe you should start shiva right now. Even though the body hasn't buried yet, oh lo, the Shema Kemet Shu Tar Binyanim Shemaim Shema Gabhu Yimane Imahen, and maybe this says Tosfos the consideration is that he counts together with them, Shema Monal Atzmo, or maybe he's going to have to count on his own. That's the Gemara's question. Again, that's in the introduction. That's a simple. That, in other words, that's the starting point for any discussion. That really fundamentally, shiva begins at the burial. But as we're now discussing, there are going to be occasions when shiva is going to start either after or even in the, now. In this case, we're entertaining the idea of even before. So Tashma, the Gemara says,
that's
coming.
The case, if somebody, the family stays here, somebody takes it to Israel.
Correct.
So the family starts immediately. and the person accompanying, does he stop?
That's a question. That's exactly the question. So Tashma Dam Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Afil Halach Kadol Habayis La Beis Akvaros Mone Imahen. So the Gemara says he counts together with them, meaning that they're going to start Avelos the moment that they're excuse themselves from the mace, so they'll start. And in terms of him, he can count together with them. So Mone Imahen Vatanya Mone Latzmo. So the Gemara says, now wait a second. There's another brisa that indicates that he counts for himself, which means that he does not come back and just simply sits with them, but he counts for himself. So the Gemara says as follows. If he comes within the first 3 days of Avelos, so in other words, he actually went to do the burial. He comes back. If he comes within the first 3 days of Avelos, which are the most intense days of Avelos, so he can hitch himself on with them. They are now in Avelos. He came within the first 3 days. He can hitch together with them. However, if he comes after the first three days of Avelos, he can no longer hitch on together with them, and he has to count on his own. So Rav gives a psak to the members of a people from a particular, the name of the family, name of the place. They came within 3 days. Limnu bahadaychu. So Rav says, look, if you come back within 3 days, within the 3 days of when they started counting Shiva, so you can hitch yourself on together with them, and whatever day they're up to, day two, day three, you can count with them. If you come after day three, you come from day four and onward, so then Mona Lin Nafshayu, then you have to count amongst, you have to count to yourself, meaning you have to start Shiva starting day one. Amal Rav of Nemechuza. Rav said to the members of the city of Mechuza, Asan de laws, it's Abasa Arsa. You're not following the coffin, meaning you escort the coffin to the gate, but then you turn around, you go back home. Mechi mehadriso apaychu. From the moment that you turn your face away from the mace, mi bava de avulav, literally from the gate of the city, atchil amano, that's when you start counting. So in other words, for the rest of the family who are not accompanying the coffin to the base of Kvaros, so then you could start your shiva from the point that you literally turn your face away from the mace. Okay? Again, what we so far accomplished today is that we familiarized ourselves with some basic halachas regarding somebody who comes, joins a family for shiva. Can he hitch himself on to the shiva, or does he have to count to himself? Again, machlokas tanaim, whether it comes within day three or even up to day seven, Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, and a distinction in the halacha whether he's coming from Makom Karov or whether he's coming from Makom Rachok. Alternatively, the Gemara's second discussion on this matter was what happens when the Gadol Habayis goes and escorts the mace to the Kvura, but the rest of the family will not go, and the rest of the family is going to turn around and go home. Do they start Shiva immediately? The answer to that question is yes. Does the Gadol Habayis, can he come back and sit together with the family, or does he have to count on his own? The Gemara makes a distinction between day three and day seven. I'm sorry, between before day three and after day three. And again, that's all just the basics of the Gemara. In terms of Halach Lamaisa, we literally scratched the surface. And obviously, the Rav is involved in any Halach Lamaisa. Two dots. Rabbi Shimon Omer Afilu Ba'bi Yamashim Makom Karov Mone Imahem. So the Gemara now is revisiting the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that if a family member is coming to Makom Karov and now is seeing the family sitting Shiva, even if he's coming on day seven, he simply hitches himself to the family and he sits for but one day. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda, I'm Rabbi Yossi Ben Shalom, I'm a Rabbi, v'hu shabal matzah menachmim etzlo. It's not that he just comes on day seven, there has to be nihuge avelus, meaning there has to be mourners there. If he comes on day seven and there has to be comforters there, extending words of comforts to the mourner. If, however, he comes on day seven and they already got up from their shiva, done. Meaning, he can no longer count together with them and he has to count shiva anew. By Rav Anan Inar Lama.
I don't understand. Why does he have to be Mukum Korach? I mean, he comes on seven, the last day, right? So what happened? He didn't know? I mean, so what's the difference between Mukum Korach and Mukum Rachok?
Right. I'm not clear.
7 days.
I'm not clear about that. I'm admitting. I don't know whether he knew, whether he didn't know. It's from the Gemara, it's only not clear. Right? Rashi doesn't say, I'm not sure. I'm being honest. I don't know.
But then,
yeah, right, and he'll do mitzvah Yom Kikula. But again, the only qualifier over here is that there has to be people still extending words of comfort. And the Gemara now asks a borderline question. He comes on day 7, the comforters are there in the house, but they're ready to get up. And he walks in at that precise moment. Take with the Gemara leaves that question unresolved, meaning that's right on the border. The friends of Rabbi Abba Bar Chia asked the following question from Rabbi Abba, and they are Rabbi Zera. Okay, a question of who was speaking to whom? Amr Rabbi Yochanan. A statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Alachik Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Betrefus, Alachik Rabbi Shimon Ba'avel. When it comes to the matter of, well, I'll go backwards. When it comes to the issue of Avelos, meaning our discussion of a family member coming within Shiva, coming Mimakom Karav, coming from approximate location. So in terms of that, the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, who says that even if you come on day 7, you could sit together with the family, again, provided that on day 7 they're still Minachmim, they're still comforters, so you can sit together with the family members, and even if that means that you're only sitting for one day. So we're going to follow like Rabbi Shimon in the world of Avelos. And in the world of Treifas, we're going to follow like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay. Now there's a lot of halachas in the world of Treifas. So which halacha are we referring to? So that's the Gemara's next point. So Rabbi Shimon Babu Huda Maran. So the Gemara says, look, we're in Moikan, we're in the third parak. We now know what the halacha that Rabbi Shimon was speaking about. Good. A relative coming in, Mimakum Karam. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Betreifas did not. What about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when it comes to Treifas? What is that an issue about? The issue goes as follows. Did not. Okay, we are in the third parak of Chulin. Third parak of Chulin, an extraordinarily long parak of Gemara, which discusses all Yudches Treifos, all 18 different cuts, serrations, punctures that occur within an animal that renders the animal a treifa. An animal that's a treifa, even with a proper shechita, cannot be eaten. The animal is treif. We use the term treif very loosely. Anything that's not kosher, we call treif. But the word treifa actually is referring to an animal that is experiencing any one of these internal wounds. The Gemara in Chulin goes through all the halachas with detail. So we are discussing but one of the treifas, and that is as follows. B'nei ma'am shenikvu. If you have a puncture in the intestine, renders an animal a treifa. V'lecha sos masan. But here there was mucus, and what happened is that the mucus got pushed through the hole, through the lacuna in the intestine, and created a seal. And the question is, and this comes up in Treifas a number of times, is that seal going to be considered a permanent seal so that the animal is not considered a Treifa? So Kshera Divrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says is that the mucus forms a legitimate seal. And so therefore the animal is not considered a treifa. And my lecha, the Gemara now just simply wants to know, can you give me a better definition of what lecha is? I call it a mucus. I'm Rav Kahana, Sirka Demaya Denafik Agav Duchka. It is a thick liquid that comes out because of pressure. Okay, so, okay, good. Mucus. So some form of mucus. Good. So that's considered a sealant, and therefore the animal is not rendered a treifa. Good, so the halacha falls like Rav Shimon Gamliel.
It would be a treifa and then...
somewhere in the recesses of my mind. It's so funny that you mentioned that. Because somewhere in the recesses of my mind, I know that there is a discussion amongst the Rishonim. I cannot give you Mar Makomas. I don't. My memory's not working that well. I remember that there's a discussion of can the animal become a treifa, and then in a scenario like this, can the treifa be undone, or do we just simply right? There's that discussion. Amar Mandaha. I'm sorry. Agav Durka. Amar Man Dehu. Somebody said. It's funny. That's the way we talk. You don't normally find that in the Gemara, right? Somebody said. But the Gemara here says it, right? Rashi just simply says Adam Echad Man Dehava. It was somebody. We don't know who it is. So Amar Man Dehu is give Isik Vagmar Lishmaitam Impume Demare. So he says, look, I want to hear directly from the source. Meaning that we have now two kulas that we quoted in the name of Rav Yochanan. One kula is that in the world of Abel, it's halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, and in the world of Shefa, it's halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Good. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. I want to hear it directly from the source. So kisalak hashkula Rabbi Abba b'rid Rabbi Chia bar Abba. So who do I find? I found Rabbi Abba. Remember, the statement was made by Rabbi Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So he's pretty close to the source now. He goes speaks to Rabbi Abba. So did you say that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the world of Trefos? Meaning, is a mucus sealant going to be considered a satisfactory seal that would render the animal not a Trefos? So Amalei Ana Ein Halacha Amrei. So funny you asked me. No, I said the opposite. I said Ein Halacha. No, that's not the halacha. Rabbi Shimon Ba'ava Mai. Okay, good. Let's move on to the next topic. Did you say that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon in the world of Avelos? Where that if somebody comes Mimakum Karov, he can simply hitch on to the family. And even if he's coming on day 7, Amalei Plukta Ninhu. So he says, oh, that? Oh, that's a machlokis. Deidmar Rabba Achist Amar Halacha, Vechenam Rav Yochanan Halacha, Rav Nachman Amar Ein Halacha. So that's a machlokis between Rav Chist and Rav Yochanan, who both say that Halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, and Rav Nachman says Halacha does not fall like Rabbi Shimon. And now the Gemara arrives at a conclusion. So in terms of what the bottom line halacha is in the world of treifa, the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So that means that if there's a puncture in the intestine, even if there's mucus sealing it, that's not a satisfactory seal, and so therefore the animal will be a treifa. When it comes to an avo, the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, and then we're going to quote this again. I didn't do a count in terms of how many times we cited this, but let's just suffice to say a lot. The halacha follows like lenient position when it comes to avelos. Remember, as we mentioned before, it's a Tosfos coming up that says that this statement to Shmuel is limited only to machlokas tanaim. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a machlokas tanaim, and so therefore, when it comes to avelos, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. So then when you have a family member coming mimakum karov, so he hitches on to the family and they'll sit shiva to whatever they're up to, even if he's coming on day 7. Again, remember the qualifier, that's only if there are comforters comforting on day 7. You come after that point in time, you no longer can hitch yourself to the family. Just as a point of interest, I know we're not talking about treifos, but the Gemara over here says that a sealant, a mucus sealant, is not going to be a satisfactory sealant. Right? The issue of glatt kosher, which is now, you know, it's not passé. I mean, it's just that everybody's glatt nowadays. So like, it's not even, you know, it's more academic. It's not even practical. But in the good old days, right, not everything was glatt. I mean, in America, you go back 50, 60 years, not everything was glatt. Some was glatt, some was not glatt. Yeah, right. Everyone knows what that means. The Rama brings down that you don't have to assume the animal's a treifa. You shech the animal, you can assume the animal's not a treifa. But the Rama brings down, but you should check the lung. The lungs are very susceptible to having punctures in the lungs, so you should check the lungs. So now when you check the lungs, so the Rama says, if there was a hole in the lung, but it was sealed over by a little bit of mucus, and you rub it and it's not coming off, so the Rama says that's fine. Okay? And I know, by the way, there are two different areas in halacha. I mean, the Gemara here is talking about intestines, and we're talking about the lungs. So it's not the same. It's not the same organ. But I'm just, you know, just a point of interest. So the Rama says that's fine. So the Rama had no requirement that the lungs be smooth, even if there were holes in the lungs. As long as the lungs had a proper seal, a mucus seal on it, that would be fine. That's the Rama's ruling. So to put in simple terms, the Rama does not require glatt. Glatt is the Yiddish word. It means smooth. It just simply means that the lungs are smooth. However, in America, a chumra developed where the lungs needed to be right where they wanted the lungs to be smooth, and so hence the birth of what we call here in America, even though it's Yiddish, it's funny, but what we call here in America glatt kosher. Glatt kosher means that the lungs be smooth. It's interesting. Not the intestines, but just the basic discussion of whether the lungs have to be smooth or can they have a mucus patch on them. Okay, back to the Gemara. I'll call Mesim. Kulam matche mitaso hareze meshubach. Al aviv al imo hareze meguna. We are now going to engage a discussion from here until the remainder of today's daf and into tomorrow's daf. And that is the distinction between mother and father versus Shar Krovim. We already discussed previously that there are, that we already saw one difference. We're going to see approximately, I didn't count, approximately a dozen differences between Avelos for mother and father versus Avelos for Shar Krovim for the other relatives. And Al-Kamesim Kulamatcha Mitasar is a Meshubach. When it comes to the other five relatives, so you rush to the funeral, meaning make sure, right, no delay, obviously with respect, obviously, but in other words, but you don't have to, schlepping is not necessary, it's not required, in fact, just the opposite. It's good, it's you know, do the mitzvah, do it in an efficient and timely manner. Abivalim Harezim Maguna, but for the loss of mother or father, so Maguna, meaning it's not appropriate to rush through it. There, be a little bit more methodical, take your time, out of respect for your mother and father. It's interesting, meaning, I should make this point, it's a general point, but why is mother and father different? Meaning, you're right, the loss of a child is, it's unnatural, the loss of a parent is more natural, so why is it that the avails for your mother and father is, quote-unquote, more intense? So but the answer is very simple, and I think the answer is very simple. Meaning there's a mitzvah also to honor your parents. And the Gemara Kedushin says you honor them when they're alive and you honor them also when they're dead. So therefore, meaning it's avelus, but it's avelus mixed together with kibra ve'ein. So there, that's why the halachas are going to look more intense with your parents. It's not I don't know if we should call it a more intense avelus, it's avelus together with kibra ve'ein. And so you're going to see a number of ramifications. So good. So number one, we said that for your parents, for the burial of your parents, don't rush it. So hareza meshubach she'eno osel lechvod avi v'imo. Right? The Gemara pretty much says it. Meaning because you're honoring your parents. Akol amesim kolam ratsa memayit b'isko ratsa eno memayit b'isko. I'm sorry, ratsa eno memayit. For any of the other relatives, you want to minimize the amount of work you do. That's fine. You don't want to minimize. That's fine. But al avi v'imo mimayit. But for your mother and father, so you should for sure minimize the amount of work you do. Now, the Gemara in of itself is difficult to understand because previously we learned that during Avelos, during Shiva, you're not allowed to do any work. You're not allowed to even have others work for you. So it's a little bit difficult. What kind of minimization are we talking about over here? The Rishonim discuss it. Rashi over here doesn't. The Rishonim discuss exactly what type of minimization we're talking about. Could be as one possibility. It could be that we're not just talking about during Shiva. We're talking about after Shiva, you know, for the duration of the month or the year. For the other five relatives, you don't have to expose your shoulder, but for your parents, you do have to expose your shoulder. There is a nihug, a practice that was done. It is no longer done. And that is that at the funeral, the mourner would expose their shoulder. Okay. The significance of it, I'm not sure. But that was a practice that was once upon a time done. It's no longer practiced. For Shar Krovim, for the other relatives, it's optional. For your parents, it's obligatory. And then the Gemara tells, the Bryce ends off by telling a story where there was a Gadol Hador, leader of the generation, who lost a parent, and he was ready to do Chalitza. Another Gadol Hador was right alongside him, and out of respect for the bereaved, for the mourner, so he also was going to expose the shoulder. And so when the Gadol Hador saw that the other one was about to do that, he said, "You know what? I'm not going to do it, so he won't do it as well." Amar Abai Gadol Hador, Rabbi Gadol Hador Shima, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha. Just identifying who we're talking about. The first Gadol Hador who lost a parent, that was Rabbi. The other one was Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha. The Igadar Gadol Hador, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'acha, and Gadol Hador Shima, Rabbi. And some have it that it switched around. The Rav Yaakov Ba'acha was the one who lost a parent. Now, Bishlam Lamanda Gadol Hador Shimo Rebbe Hainu Dim Nimna V'lo Chalas. Lamanda Amar Rebbe Yaakov Ba'acha Amai Nimna V'lo Chalas Rav Shimon Gamlo Nasiava. The Gemara says, I don't understand. If it was Rebbe who lost a parent, that means who did Rebbe lose? He lost his father, Rav Shimon Gamlo. Rav Shimon Gamlo was a Nasi Hador. He was a leader of the Jewish people. When the leader of the Jewish people dies, everyone experiences mourning. Everyone is required to be cholitz, to expose their shoulder. So the Gemara says, so that version of the story doesn't make sense. Kasha, the Gemara says, you're right. That version of the story does not make sense. It makes much more sense to say that it was Rav Yaakov Barachel who lost the father, and it was Rebbe alongside who was also ready to expose the shoulder out of solidarity. And Rav Yaakov Barachel basically said, no, I'm not going to expose my shoulder because I don't want Rebbe to do so as well. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up at the point of Al Kol HaMeisim.